How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today. The title of the book, God Granted, it's our Issues Etc. book of the month. I've been telling you about it all September. Go see for yourself. Our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find that book of the month on every section of our website. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order it. God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book you order, God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther, our Issues Etc. book of the month for September. We have been hearing for a long time now, since the economy has turned down, that it's a bad economy that accounts for the woes that many seeker-sensitive churches are experiencing. Well, certainly, the bad economy plays into it, but is that the only thing going on with the apparent waning of the seeker-sensitive church? Joining us to talk about seeker-friendly churches, Dr. Mike Adams. He's a criminology professor at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. He's author of the book, Feminists Say the Darndest Things, and he's written a recent column for townhall.com titled Searching for Bonhoeffer. Dr. Adams, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you so much.
Dr. Adams, so many people say that it is the bad economy that is the reason why many megachurches are struggling. You say it isn't. What do you think the reason is?
I think it's the changing culture, without question, because what you see happening very frequently at large megachurches these days is that, you know, now they're sort of competing because the economy has kicked in and has sort of tanked in the last couple of years. They're kind of reaching out and deciding that they need to, instead of leading the culture, respond to the culture. And the fact that it's changed so much in recent years is really causing a lot of pastors to be intimidated and to begin to sort of water down the message in these churches.
You've called the message of seeker-sensitive churches a slightly gospel-flavored bucket of water. What do you mean by that?
Well, by that, I mean that it seems that we are seeing in many megachurches these days a willingness to only present half of the good news because, you know, people these days in a culture that is increasingly embracing not only notions of multiculturalism, but the idea that they somehow have some right to be unoffended can really only handle about half of the gospel. And essentially, that's what I mean by the fact that the gospel is starting to be watered down in many of these churches.
So you've traveled to 22 states this year. What are some examples of what's being preached in many of these megachurches?
Well, I'm beginning to hear some things. You know, I really enjoy very much as I travel around the country having the opportunity to attend different churches at different denominations. And naturally, I've had an opportunity to hear several speakers this year, or I should say pastors this year in megachurches. And I'm beginning to hear some odd things out there. For example, hearing one pastor say that in our church, we're not about doctrine, we're about hope. And it's really very difficult for me to understand how we are to give hope to people without really fully embracing Christian doctrine that that focuses not only on redemption, but also the sin from which people need to repent.
You say that you've actually heard, preached and taught in some of these megachurches, we don't have all the answers.
That is really sort of pertains to the first question that you asked me about the culture. As a culture begins to drift and begins to embrace multiculturalism, as people sort of begin to be unanchored, if you will, in absolute truth, it doesn't take very long for people in the culture to realize that something's wrong and they need something to embrace. And I really believe that the real winners in this bad economy is the churches are competing with one another to try and keep people in there and pay the bills and pay off the mortgages. I think the big winners are going to be the people who can give, the pastors who can give congregants something that they can latch onto. And I think there's a real thirst out there for people who are seeking absolute truth. And I think it's really going to backfire for these pastors who are getting up there and saying, you know, we don't have all the answers. We're not sure if we have all the answers. We just want to introduce a dialogue. I think people are disinclined to follow people who aren't willing to lead.
Do you find it ironic that those churches that are considered to be Bible-believing megachurches are spouting, in some cases, the same rhetoric as a liberal like John Shelby Spong, who says that the church must change or die?
Oh, my goodness, you're hearing this coming from a lot of people. Spong is an example of that. I think Brian McLaren is also an example of someone who has talked about this. And, you know, I just want to reiterate that it is without question the purpose of the church, not to respond to the culture, but to engage the culture and to affect the culture. I mean, that really is what the Great Commission is asking us to do. And the reason why I titled my recent column Searching for Bonhoeffer is that shows us a really good example of someone who was willing to go against the culture in a time during, you know, the spread of Nazism in Germany. The church was being rapidly consumed by anti-Christian ideology, and he was one of the few who was willing, despite the odds against him and despite the fact that it cost his life, to engage the culture no matter how sick it became. And we need to definitely have leaders like Bonhoeffer step forward before we get in that bad situation, because that's the direction we're heading in, unfortunately.
What did you find that many of these megachurches are teaching about diversity?
Well, I have heard on more than one occasion in a church, you know, diversity is important and there's nothing wrong with the diversity. And I would encourage pastors who say that to begin to pay attention to what's going on our college campuses. And they recognize when they do that, when they become familiar with the diversity movement in academia, which, of course, we have to understand that what goes on in academia is what the culture is going to look like in about 20 years. Even Abraham Lincoln understood that back in the 19th century. If we take a look at diversity on our college campuses these days, which harbor great anti-Christian bias, you realize that it really means multiculturalism, which means that there is no absolute truth. And if there is no absolute truth, then there is no God. I think some pastors really need to educate themselves more about what's going on in the culture before they decide that they're going to respond to it.
So do you think that this gospel of no offense, self-help, that these megachurches are preaching, do you think it's going to help them with their financial woes?
Oh, I don't think so. I wrote in my column that I believe that the more that they compete by watering down, the more that they're going to have to shut down their doors and turn over their buildings to become shopping malls where people can really go and worship the culture. I really do believe that we are about to see a new era popping up in Christianity in America where small churches led by bold people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer come forward and really start to make a difference and recognize that, look, it's when you build your first building for most churches and get in debt that you begin to see that you've peaked and your best days are behind you. I think we're going to see a lot of small churches starting in people's homes, spreading across the country, and really sort of forming a response to the megachurch phenomenon that popped up in the 1990s. I believe that's going to happen. I believe that's the future of the Christian church.
A frequent guest on the program, Dr. Mike Horton, he's host of the White Horse Inn radio program. He said that Pop American Christianity isn't reaching the lost, it's losing the reached. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. There is just no question about it. People who are sensitive to seekers have to understand that the people that they're often attracting are individuals who really had no inclination to change whatsoever, and they're really not having a big effect upon their lives. We're just beginning to see that the people who are thirsting for more, the traditional Christians who might become leaders and might step it up a notch, are really getting turned off. And I think that your previous guest really hit the nail on the head with that.
So finally, what's your prediction for the future of megachurches?
I just don't think that things look good at all. I was in a megachurch recently where they were beginning a series, a four-week-long series on being responsible with your money. And what they were trying to do is talk to the congregants about the importance of contributing. You know, I remember before I fell away and was an atheist for a while, I was actually raised in a very conservative Baptist church. And I can tell you that in that particular church, there was a very, very strong gospel-based message. And I can remember in my years there that they never had to beg for money. And when you have to begin to really remind people of their obligation to give, it really means that you're not touching their spirit and that the end is near for your church.
Dr. Mike Adams is criminology professor at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. He's author of the book Feminists Say the Darndest Things, and Dr. Adams has written a recent column for townhall.com titled Searching for Bonhoeffer. Dr. Adams, thanks for being our guest on Issues Etc.
Oh, I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Folks, go to our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and read Dr. Mike Adams' article, Searching for Bonhoeffer. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk about St. Michael and all angels. There is a reason that this angel is called St. Michael. Dr. Charles Geeshan of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. The future of the Christian church is precisely where Jesus has always put it. It is in his promise made that confessing Christ, crucified, risen from the dead, for the sins of the whole world, the church will never perish. He will guard it against the most terrible of foes. The church does not need to remake its image. The church does not need to be worried about its image at all. The church needs to confess. This is what makes the church the church. The confession, the bold confession, profession, proclamation of Jesus Christ crucified for sinners, all of us sinners. And with that, the gates of hell will not prevail. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.